plate a potential nugget.
And on a related note, Venerable, you talk about this notion of deliberate practice. In one of the pages, you say, you know, practice is a container, and if done right, everything we do, every waking moment is held inside that container. And every act, whether it's folding a cloth or picking up a teapot, is worth doing carefully, correctly, with patience and attention. Can you talk a little bit about this notion of deliberate practice, just in the way we approach our life and every moment?
You see, ordinary perspectives on spiritual practice is that it is something radically different from our day-to-day life. You know, that's why we have designated places of worship. That's why we have designated time, celebrating festivities around religious calendar, observing fasts, going to retreats and things of that nature. To the point almost that we have created the sense that these are sort of, you know, the sacred or the holy moments or days that I need to be more mindful of my religious or spiritual orientation. But otherwise, you know, it's life up for grabs. We just do whatever we feel like doing, you know. And you know, it's a challenge to recognize that spiritual discipline is something that ought to permeate every aspect of our life, from perception to decision-making to choices to every interaction, right? And initially, it takes certain kinds of effort, you see, and that's where the deliberation part comes in, that it is a discipline. And the more proficiency you gain in this discipline, then it becomes an effortless act, meaning then you're not thinking that you need to set aside time for spiritual practice. You may still, you know, enjoy meditating for 1 hour or 3 hours or 9 hours a day. But, you know, you're not sort of tied to that particular idea that meditation only means that, or religious or spiritual practice only means that. So there's this sense of effortlessness that we develop over a period of time. Now, a lot of times what happens is people just want to begin with effortlessness, let's say, which is sometimes not very useful, because we are creatures of habit. And when we simply start with effortlessness, the old habits are not gone. You see, the old habits simply creep their way into this effortless attitude towards things, right? So what the discipline does is allows us to refine some of these old patterns, these old habitual patterns, to refine them and identify which one is going to be helpful in the kind of lifestyle that I wish to live versus not. And then what happens is that one develops something like an aesthetics of practice. An aesthetics of practice is where even ordinary things and ordinary tasks reveal a tremendous sense of beauty in it. It's almost like observing the joy in a child's eye when they're observing something new for the first time. And you can almost gaze into their eyes and you can see the neural synapses happening. It's like, yes, she knows that the toe moves this particular way. She knows that if she touches the dog is going to do this. She knows if she smells the flower, this is a thing. You know, the beauty of that learning. You see? And what happens is that, you know, we romanticize the idea of being lifelong learners. You see? But we have let go of this joy of learning, this joy of curiosity. You see? And so the deliberateness of spiritual practice allows us to maintain, see, this aesthetics around experiencing the joy of practice, so that observation, so that no two sunsets are alike, no two humans are alike, no two plants are alike, that you're able to sort of relish in the beauty of diversity that nature has to offer.
A couple of thoughts here. One is a point that came up in my conversation with BJ Fogg of Stanford, the author of the book Tiny Habits, who studied the process of habit formation for several decades now. He speaks about three things: motivation, ability, and prompt in the context of building a new habit. He says that till we get the ability to do something, our motivation levels can be really low. So the idea is to keep the habit so small that even with limited ability and motivation, we're able to get it done and slowly build from it. If this is of interest, tune into my conversation with BJ Fogg, who's written the book Tiny Habits, or James Clear, who's written the book Atomic Habits, who speaks to a similar theme. Another guest, Rich Fernandez, CEO of Search Inside Yourself, a Google incubated company, spoke about this notion of an integrated practice.
When people think about meditation, they think about having to do exactly what I just said, which is set aside, you know, X block of time and, you know, sit in a certain way and close your eyes and protect this space for formal practice. But there's also a way to practice mindfulness and meditation in an integrated way. So, for example, as you move through the course of your day, integrate it into your day. Between meetings, you know, if you need to walk to the restroom, make that a walking meditation. I'm actually serious about that, right? Become aware of your body as it moves through space between your office and the restroom. Become aware of your footfall. Become aware of, you know, the felt sense of your body. How are you feeling actually in that moment? Or take the opportunity to focus on breath. Or this being in India, this podcast, you know, if you have a mantra that you're, you know, that you're familiar with or particularly like, use that. And I say mantra, and there's often a religious component to that. But here, what I'm referring to is really finding an object of your attention to train your attention upon it, whether it be mantra or breath or walking or sensation. You can really do this throughout the course of your day. I was driving to work today and I was focusing on my breath, not so much so that I wasn't able to drive, but when there was a red light, when I was stopped in traffic, in and out for three breaths, I noticed my breath.
Rather than treating mindfulness and spirituality as something separate, I guess we all have an opportunity to weave it into the small things in our life.